So this next section, I guess both Simon and Sarita have talked about strategy, and that's what I'm going to do for Clac Logement now. It won't come as a huge surprise that we don't have a really elaborate theory of revolution, and we don't organize according to a really elaborate theory of revolution. I'm going to basically just go through why we're focusing on housing and some of the surrounding issues, and talk about a specific campaign that we've done over the past few months, and about some of the aspects of that that I think are specific or highly informed by anarchist principles and anti-authoritarian strategies that, you know, other people on this panel have also touched on. So why housing? Again, we grew out of the CLAC, and which is an anti-capitalist organization, as its name suggests. And out of an anti-capitalist critique, I think one of the things about housing is that it's one of the most obvious places where capitalism fails, where it breaks down for so many people. And if you look at housing as a basic need, which is as much of a basic need and as basic a right as access to water, as access to food, it's equally necessary for people to have housing as it is for them to have those other things in order to live and flourish in sort of minimal standards of dignity. And in that sense, I think it's pretty easy for people to recognize the ways in which housing should not be treated as it is in a capitalist system, that is, as a commodity that some people, i.e. landlords, profit from, while other people, tenants, are exploited and are put in precarious situations in terms of, you know, being evicted, being repossessed, being put on the street, being moved, trying to move around, desperately seeking affordable housing and not being able to root themselves in any neighborhood, being discriminated against either because of their race, because of their immigration status, because they're a single mom, because they have kids, when they go look for housing. If housing's a necessity, everybody should have access to housing, and if a capitalist market means that a lot of people don't have access to the level of housing, the standards of housing that they need, then it's clearly a failure as a system. This is really obvious in Montreal right now. For a long time, when I first moved to Montreal in 1994, Montreal was still at the end of a long sort of depression. There was a really high vacancy rate. It was really easy to get cheap apartments. Now, Montreal is in the middle of an economic boom, right? Which means that technically everybody should be able to find housing, right? If you deal with the trickle-down model of economics. But of course, what we've seen is that increasingly, places like the Plateau, places like St. Henry, places like Hochelaga de Maisonneuve and Centre Sud have or are being gentrified. More and more people are being repossessed by their landlords as the city booms, as downtown apartments become more appealing for people, for wealthy people moving in from the suburbs, etc., as the economic rewards for developers of converting old apartments into newer, fancier ones have risen exponentially. And more people are being evicted as rents have risen and become unaffordable because of a low vacancy rate, and also as property taxes have risen, as condos get built up in an area, driving property taxes up. And that's happening, as I said, in many neighborhoods in Montreal, and at the same time as the city is, of course, booming and all the economists are happy. But that's sort of the theoretical underpinnings of why housing. I think the other reason is just that a lot of us were living in St. Henry, and we're recognizing the gentrification going on around us, and wanted to get involved in the ongoing struggles against that gentrification. I think that leads to the question of sort of why then not just join the housing organizations in our neighborhood. And there is a very strong housing organization called Le Papier in the Southwest. We actively do work with them, and they've been very supportive of us, and we often sort of play a bit of a tag team role and I'll explain a bit more how that has worked in some of the campaign actions we've done. But I think part of the reason was that we also see their role as a very limited role, and they've actually, in order to sustain themselves since the Quiet Revolution, since the 70s, housing organizations seem to have narrowed their role, and some of them will only talk about social housing. Some of them will only talk about tenants' rights. Very few of them are able to deal with concerns about, you know, difficulties finding housing because you have no status, you're non-status. Very few seem to be able to deal with the racism involved in housing and who gets housing in Montreal. And none of them really seem to link this to a broader analysis around capitalism and other systems of domination. And I'm not claiming that we at this point are doing all of that, but I think that is one of the reasons we decided to do something on our own and have the capacity to sort of determine how we're going to work. Also, we wanted to use a slightly different model of organizing than exists in some of those more institutionalized now organizations. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Quai des Écusés anti-condo, anti-gentrification campaign. In the fall, we discovered that a new development was going up on the canal. The canal was rezoned in 2000 to make it open to residential housing. And so in this neighborhood in St. Henry, where something like 75% of people are renters, and of those people, the average income per year is $19,000. And over half of St. Henry lives under the poverty line. In that neighborhood, some developer called Michel Le Servant decided he was going to build 400 units of luxury condos, which sell for between $150,000 to $400,000 per unit. He's going to build them right along the canal. Now, he's not alone. There's a number of different condo projects going up around St. Henry. But this was just such an exorbitant, sort of a lavish project that it became a very powerful symbol of this process of gentrification that is displacing poor and working people all over Montreal. We know people who have been forced out of their affordable apartments, have been repossessed or evicted, can't find anything else affordable in anywhere near downtown Montreal, and are now moving to places like Sorel in order to find places. So this is sort of, you know, a constant, or akin to all the other forms of displacement that are going on around the world. And so we decided to take on this project, and I could, you know, spend 2 hours talking about various actions that went on. But some of those, and some of that are important to understand how we're trying to organize, are we did a delegation to the borough councillor's office. The borough councillor's office is located in the southwest, and the borough councillors were refusing a construction permit to the developers of this project. Papier, as well as our group, Cac Logement, were demanding that they not give out the construction permit because of the effects it would have on the neighborhood and on the population of the neighborhood. They were refusing to do that. You know, the standard bureaucratic answers were given. It's not our problem. It was rezoned. We're having a public consultation process. Oh, you came to the public consultation process. Oh, well, we heard your questions. We responded to your questions. They're still getting, you know. And so basically about 10 of us went one day to their office and demanded a meeting there and then. And they hid in their boardroom and refused to have a meeting with us. We broke into the boardroom. We told them what our demand was. They ran away from the boardroom and locked themselves into a different part of the office as their aides tried to secure the room and the models in the room, and told us that we had been heard and that really they were doing what was best for the neighborhood. That was one example of an action. We also have held a couple of public assemblies and have tried to pester the condo office into submission. So far that hasn't worked, but we are not done yet. Part of the pestering process was a four-day-long constant presence in the winter. After a couple of different delegation actions to the condo office, we spent 4 days disrupting their business in a very active fashion by holding sort of, you know, a four-day festival of winter outside. It was the coldest 4 days of the year. And so organizing, you know, public meals, various forms of entertainment, and rallies outside to say that they were not welcome in the neighborhood, that people who were buying the condos were not welcome in the neighborhood, and that it would not be very profitable for them in the long run to continue with their project. And then we've continued with, you know, pickets every 2 weeks, which we stopped as soon as it was getting warm, and, you know, an anti-gentrification day demo, which we're trying to make into a Montreal-wide event. The point of explaining a little bit the different actions we've done is to be able to talk a little bit about some aspects of our organizing that we think are underpinned by certain anti-authoritarian principles. I guess the first thing is that, you know, the point of doing all of this is not just to do it, but it is to achieve concrete gains that will actually transform in limited or not so limited ways the lives of the people who do live in the neighborhood, and that includes us. And that means that sometimes we've been accused of using of being reformist and of using reformist demands because they're addressed to levels of government, because they're addressed to the municipal government, and we demand a moratorium on condo building in Montreal for as long as there's a housing crisis. Things like that become regarded as reformist demands, and that's sort of maybe one of the tensions of being an anarchist doing community organizing or, you know, working within a social struggle, and something that needs to be grappled with. But it just seems that it's ridiculous to just talk about abstract principles when there are concrete things in people's lives that need addressing. Another aspect that I want to highlight, I guess, is a sense that we are not the social struggle, and we are not the leaders of the social struggle, but that what we do is an attempt at, as so many other people today and over the weekend have talked about it, and Sarita's talked about it, of making space for this common sense in St. Henry that it is unacceptable that people who have lived there for a long time, or even people who have just moved into the area, are being displaced by wealthy people who have suddenly decided that they want to develop the area the way they want it. We recognize that there's been an ongoing struggle against the gentrification and displacement of poor people in Montreal, that people resist every day, and not because we say they do, but just because they resist every day, by, you know, fighting for heating, fighting for electricity during the winter, for fighting for food for their kids, fighting to keep a hold of their apartment when their landlords are trying to evict them, fighting for their welfare checks, and that's an important form of resistance, and we honor that. I think we also, though, you know, a lot of our actions have been based around trying to create this space where people can talk to us, tell them what's important, tell us what's important to them. And so the constant presence, while yes, it was disruptive of business as usual, was also a place where for 4 days people could come and did come and, you know, tell us that, yes, we think it's gross that the condos are there. We think that we're starting to feel closed in and chased out. We can't pay for our heating this winter because the property taxes in the building just went up and our landlord is charging us more rent. All those things can come out, not when you're hidden away talking about anarchist theory somewhere, but when you're out on the street and picketing every 2 days and, or, you know, out advertising for public assemblies and people can come. But I think actually even better than public assemblies is just being on the street where people walk by and have, you know, you can talk to people right where they are, right where they're going to their dépanneur or whatever. And I guess the last sort of particularly anti-authoritarian thing about the way we've been organizing has been that we've very calculatedly or very deliberately tried to disrupt as many of the businesses that are promoting gentrification, as many as the political institutions that are promoting gentrification in the neighborhood as possible. I'm going to start calling this from now on the fuck the proper channels strategy, because every time you go to a municipal office or every time you go to City Hall with demands, people tell you to go write a letter, people to go tell you to go make an appointment with a secretary, and you will have your demands heard. Not met, just heard. And we have deliberately, organized in such a way as to say, you cannot co-opt us by forcing us into your proper channels. These are legitimate demands. People have a right to be heard, and more than just being heard, we have a right to have these demands met, and you're going to listen to us now on our terms. And so that involves a whole delegitimation of authority, delegitimation of the power of landlords, of developers, of politicians, and in fact, therefore, of all the ruling class that is promoting gentrification in St. Henry and a whole range of other oppressions in the rest of Montreal. It, I think, tells people, and this is one of the reasons we want to start doing direct action advocacy, I think it's a powerful way of organizing when people realize that they can fight on their own terms. They don't have to obey the proper channels. They don't have to walk through all the hoops that are set before them. We can go and take over their meetings. We can go force meetings with them. And eventually, we might be strong enough to evict them. Last night's march was supposed to be a precursor to the grand eviction that will come. And I think that's a really powerful message. And I think Sarita's talked about this. The message that that all people have the capacity and the right to determine their own course of struggle and their own lives. And that means that, we take a specific approach to organizing that honors their right to determine their own course of struggle also. And I guess just to finish, I want to emphasize again that I think we don't, while we're focusing on housing and we've been focusing on gentrification in one area where we happen to all live, we also think that it's extremely important to talk about issues of poverty more broadly, about racism. And there's a long history in Little Burgundy that is very instructive. And Little Burgundy, for people who are out of town, is the predominantly and the oldest black neighborhood in Montreal, which was gentrified and entirely re-reménagé, changed around by developers in the 60s and 70s, and to talk about displacement and make the links between all the struggles that are affected and all the struggles that are struggling for a world where, again, to go back to the initial vision, where people have the right to determine their lives, to live in dignity, to flourish, in a broader vision of solidarity and mutual aid. And so if anything, what I see as our goal or what CLAC Logement is trying to do is to contribute in a small way, and I feel like I'm repeating Sarita's talk, but like less well, is contribute to some sort of uprising in the long distant future. But I just see this, this vision in Montreal of all the different social struggles that we're so good at compartmentalizing and letting the state institutionalize into different compartments. So immigrants' rights, housing, First Nations people, anti-racism struggles, now all coming together in one giant, general assembly or something else, and all taking the city together. So I'll leave it at that.